I'm going to be all over the place today. So I'll be in John. I'm going to be in Acts. Just follow along with me. Be fast with your Bibles or your phones or just stay connected to me, okay? We're finishing this series today that we've been on that started back at Easter when we looked at the cross. And one of the things that was stirring in my heart is that there was more to the gospel, the good news of salvation. It begins at the cross, but we don't talk about the rest of the story. And that's what I've been doing, is talking about the rest of the story. We've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how there's power in that resurrection. We live with resurrection power. We talked about how there was the ascension, that he had to go back to the Father. That's important for what comes today, that he was ascended, and then that he was enthroned, that he's seated at the right hand of God. He's above all powers and principalities. And so I want to take us to this place today. Today we're talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. God unlimited. If I was going to give the message a title today, I would call it The Holy Spirit, God Unlimited. And so I need to prepare your hearts for this. And I want you to think about these disciples who have walked with Jesus now for 3 years. They have been everywhere. They've seen him teach. They've watched his miracles. They've been a part of doing great and mighty things themselves. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to talk to them in John, particularly. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, read through the book of John. It's the four, other than the book of Acts, John's the foremost authority. And John is the very words of Jesus about the Holy Spirit. You don't get any better than that. So I encourage you to look through John to find out about this Holy Spirit. But the disciples, they have been warned by Jesus that he's going away, and it makes them sad, and it makes them confused, and they don't know what they're going to do because they've grown so attached to him over these last 3 years. But he says this in John 16, verse 7, if you want to follow me over there. John 16, verse 7. He says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So you see what Jesus is saying? I need to go away. It's for your benefit that I go away, because what I send to you is going to be so worth it. I want to just go ahead and preemptively say this. We live in some of the most greatest times on the face of the earth. We live in the times where the Holy Spirit has been poured out. This promise has been fulfilled. That's the age in which we live. It's a beautiful time to live. And so then if you follow with me over to the book of Acts in the first chapter, verses 4 through 5. And I just want to follow this coming of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says that it's to your advantage that I go away so I can send him the Helper. And then in Acts 1, 4 and 5, follow the story. It says, "Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which," he said, "you hear of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Yeah. Here's another incredible thing. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit because he's already been poured out. That's the reality that you live in. It used to be many years ago, people thought you had to beg and plead for salvation, and they would beg and plead and tarry for so long to get salvation. And then finally, we started looking at Scripture and we realized that salvation is something that Jesus wanted to bring. You didn't have to beg him. You didn't have to tarry. It came quite easy to anyone who wanted to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. They'd be saved. I believe we're entering into a time too where for so long it has been that if you wanted the Holy Spirit, you had to pray, you had to tarry, you had to do all kind of things for him to come. And I believe we look back in Scripture, it tells us that the Holy Spirit has already been poured out across the face of the earth. And so that's the time that we live in. And then in Acts 2, 1 through 4, this moment when he does come, this is the birthing of the Holy Spirit when he comes in power to stay here, reside on the earth with us. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where He came. That's when He came to reside with us. And just as much as we would sing and shout and declare that He is risen of Jesus, we should also sing, shout, and declare of the Holy Spirit, He has come. You need both. You need both. You need to have a theology that says He is risen, praise God. Jesus is risen. But you also need a theology that says He has come, the Holy Spirit, praise God. That's the reality that we live in. So what does He do? What does this helper, the Holy Spirit, do? Why is it so important that He comes? I want to break these things down into two parts. There is an inward work of the Holy Spirit, and there's an outward work of the Holy Spirit. If you look in Scripture, you will find that there are times that it says that the Holy Spirit is in us. Just like Christ, the very Spirit of Christ is in, He is in us. And whenever it talks about that, that's for our good. But then there are times that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And you will find most often when He comes upon a believer, it's for public consumption. It's for the people around you. So there's private and there's public. There's inner and there's outer. However you want to describe it, those are the words that we would use to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. So first, let's take up this internal work of the Holy Spirit. In John 4:14, and then over in John 7, it says a very similar thing. Listen to this, John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So the believer lives in a bit of a tension between being filled and being hungry. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a tension within this thing of the Holy Spirit where He is in us. And so we are filled and we are satisfied in Him. That's that part you say, I am satisfied in Him. But then we live with that tension that also says, but I think there's more. And if there's more, I'd like to have it. Because He's so good, the little bit that I've tasted or whatever amount that I've tasted, if that's good, what's coming's got to be good too. So we live in sort of this tension of this well being inside of us that's flowing up, that's pushing up the things of God. John 14:26 describes some work of the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Helper, He's often described as that, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. How are you going to figure out this life where every moment is new? You're going to figure it out because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And He is teacher. So He's going to teach you the ways of God. He's going to teach you in every situation where you get there and you go, I've never been this place before. I've never been in this situation before. You can say, but that's okay, because I know the one that's got the playbook, that's been there before, and He will teach me the ways that I'm supposed to go. He's going to bring to my remembrance Scripture. I heard a person not long ago, he started quoting Scripture when he was a child, and he left the church when he was a teenager, and he didn't come back until he was an adult. But that well, that well that started inside of him when he was a kid that he might have pressed down and quenched through his teenage years and his early adult years, when he surrendered his life back to the Lord and invited the Holy Spirit, it started flowing back up inside of him. He could quote Scripture from the time that he was a kid. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings Scripture back to our remembrance. That's why you just keep eating. You just keep feasting on God. There are days you're reading and you go, I don't know what's going on. I just don't feel like the Word set me on fire today. Might I propose that the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm just planting that seed in you right now. I'm just starting something today. And in about 2, 3, 4 years, that thing's going to pop up in you and you don't know where it came from. And that's when the Holy Spirit will be going, that is me. That's what I do right there. I teach and I bring to remembrance. And then in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, we read the first part of that earlier. Well, the second part is this. He said, "It was to your advantage that I go." In 8 through 11, he says, "And he, when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." But when he said, "The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak." That sounds a lot like Jesus, right? That's what Jesus said. "I don't speak out of my own words. I speak what I hear the Father say." Now the Holy Spirit said, he's not going to speak out of his own mouth. He'll speak what the Father is saying. "But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me," speaking of Jesus, "for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you." Now look at this. He says that he's going to come concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now most people have a one-sided view of this. It's like going to the doctor and the doctor's saying, "I've got bad news." And then you say, "Okay, that's the bad news." And then the doctor looks at you and say, "Well, I really didn't have any good news. I don't have any way to treat you." Now that's bad news, right? That would be a bad visit. Most of us believe that the only work that the Holy Spirit works is to convict us of sin, to convict us of the fact that we're not righteousness. But I will tell you that the Holy Spirit is after far more than that. The Holy Spirit would never convict you of sin and not bring you into a place of healing. The Holy Spirit would never show you sin and leave you in it. In fact, just so I can be clear, Kevin would never preach that either. There might be a need for me to clear that up. While he may show us sin, and certainly he loves us through it, he would never leave us in it, because he loves us too much for that. So then what are these verses saying? Look at it again. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Believe in me. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He takes the sinner who has been convicted of sin. By the way, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, it was of good and evil. Right? The knowledge of good and evil. From that very day, there is something that resides inside of us because of that event that we know right from wrong. And don't tell me that you don't. We know right from wrong. The only way to not know right from wrong is to go in the direction of wrong for so long that your heart becomes seared to the truth of the Word. That's in Romans chapter 1. But we already know what's right and wrong, so surely the Holy Spirit has a greater work than that. What does He do? He takes the one who has realized that he is in wrong, and He says, "Look up, I need you to see Jesus." That's the only way you get out of this, my child. So the Holy Spirit points the sinner to Jesus. Otherwise, we're left in it. But He points us to Jesus so we have a way out of it. And then concerning righteousness, we realize at some point, He is good. And I am not. You ever got to that place where you realize He is good? I am not. Then what does He do? He tells you that He who became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, the Holy Spirit would never leave you at a place that says He is good and I am not. He would say, "But look at Him. He is righteous and so are you because of what He did." And then because of judgment, you know, when we stand and say, you're going to get it. Look at what it says there. Satan done got it. Amen. You see that? Because of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So I'm gonna play the role of a coach for just a moment, okay? And I'm going to play two different coaches, all right? So unfortunately, you guys are going to get the bad coach. All right. You guys are going to get the good coach. All right. While I'm telling the story, realize I am not speaking of Kevin. All right. So let me get over here. I'm in bad coach mode. So there's a big game, you guys. Big game. Football season's coming right around the corner, fellas. Yes. We'll say it's football. And I'm the coach. And so we're sitting right there. You know, we're getting ready to go out on the field. And there's always a pep talk, right? All right, so here's the pep talk from the bad coach. You guys are pathetic. I mean, y'all are pathetic. You're like the worst team I've ever seen. You can't do anything right. It don't matter how much we practice. It don't matter how much I coach you. It doesn't matter how many times we run a play. I think you guys are just unable to win. You're just a bunch of losers. In fact, the only thing good about you is that I'm a winner. I'm a winner. But y'all a bunch of losers. And the team that you're getting ready to play, oh, they are evil. They are wicked and evil, and they are strong. And they are going to whoop your butts. Just prepare yourself. You are going to take a thrashing like you have never seen before, because that enemy, he is mighty. And he is after you. And just when you think you've escaped, they'll come and get you. So look behind you, because it's coming. All right? And there is nothing you can do to win this thing. The only thing that you need to keep in mind is that you got to go play, because if you don't, I'm going to beat you. So get out there before I beat you. And if you need any encouragement along the way, here's the encouragement. I'm going to pick you up after the game. You'll be beaten and bloodied and bruised beyond compare. But I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you to McDonald's. I'm going to buy you a cheeseburger before I take you home. That's what most of us have heard about the Holy Spirit. You're dirty. You're pathetic. You're a loser. The enemy is strong. You're going to lose. You better fight, because if not, I'll get you. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I'm going to take you away at some point. I'll buy you a little cheeseburger and take you home. My whole team quit, didn't it? That's a perfect point. We want to know why Christians won't get in the fight. That's why. They're like, it does me no good to get in that fight. I'm just going to hang out here and hope for the best. I'm just going to try to keep my nose clean, right? Stay out of trouble. Yeah, okay. Let's see if I can get over here. Here's what I see in Scripture, the verses that I just read. I'm moved over here, so now I'm the good coach. All right, guys, this is the big game. And you might be a little scared, but here's what I want you to know. I got their playbook. So there ain't nothing they can run that I don't already know about. In fact, you guys didn't know it, but everything leading up to this point has been preparing you to beat them based on their own place. Now, I've waited to tell you that because I needed you to work hard, and I know you went through some things that you didn't understand, but trust me, I was preparing you, and let me tell you that you're ready, because not only do I have a playbook, but I also have this advantage. I've already beaten them. See, they can't win because I've already gone in and I've clipped their wings and I've cut them in such a way that they can't win. They can't win. So all we have to do is go in and mop up. All right? Now, they're going to fuss and they're going to fight and they're going to act like a bunch of bullies. But here's the deal. See, inside of you, there used to be that in football, in the NFL, the quarterback was the only one that had a little thing where he could hear what was going on. Guess what? All of you do. Every one of you has a mic inside your helmet. And if you run up against something and you don't know what to do, I'm going to be there because I'm your helper and I'm going to help you through it. And if it feels like you're not strong enough to handle this thing in front of you, realize that I'm the helper. I'm going to come alongside of you. And if I have to do something, I will. But I really like when you do, because it's kind of fun to see you work in my power. And so we're already victorious. Now, there's some people out there on the field, and many have told you that they're your enemy, but they're not actually the enemy. You see, your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is powers and principalities. So when you go out on the field, we're actually going to fight in a way that they've never seen coming, which is we're not fighting against humans. I've already defeated the powers and the principalities. Your job is to go and tell those folks that if they want to change teams, they can come on the other side. So when you go out there, your job is not to beat up on the humans. Well, Your job is to speak about the goodness and the power and the awesome time we have had on this team together and how we are victorious. And you'll tell them that good news and you invite them to come over. And any of them that want to come over can, because I'm taking anybody, whosoever will, can come. Now, I need to warn you that you're going to run into some people, and they love darkness. And they'll reject some of the things you say. So not everybody on that team will come over. And if you think you do, you might get discouraged. But I'm going to be there whispering to you, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm going to talk you through it. But there are those who love darkness and realize that they're not denying you, they're denying me. So you don't have to take it so personally. It's not about you. They've been denying me. And if I could do anything, I would, but I've given them free will. So I let them do what they want. So don't get discouraged on the ones that don't come over. There'll be plenty that do. And at the end of the day, I'm still going to buy you a cheeseburger. And I'm still taking you home. And I'm taking any of you that want to go. Any of y'all want to stay and work for the other team? Yeah. This internal work of the Holy Spirit is to birth in you the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, so that you might go to this team over here and demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, so that they might see the God that lives in you. See, it's hard to keep this internal thing internal, isn't it? It'll bubble up and it'll spill over. And so this well brings up this fruit of the Spirit. It brings up this helper in us. It brings up truth. It glorifies Jesus, because we can never lose sight of Jesus. Do you see that? He is the victor. You can never lose sight of Him. So the Holy Spirit keeps reminding us of Jesus every time we forget. And now Jesus is in us, but He is also seated at the right hand of God. So who is with us? Oh, the Holy Spirit, unlimited God. That's why He said it's better that I go away. Because Jesus could only be in one place at one time. But He, the Holy Spirit, He is unlimited God. He can be everywhere, at all times, in all people. That's why when we on the field, He's with every single one of you, teaching every single one of you what to do. He's with all of us. He is unlimited God. He is everywhere, all the time, unlimited, given, Jesus said, without measure. How much of the Holy Spirit can you have? As much as you want. You can have as much as you want. Now that's the internal. Now what about the external? There are times where He comes upon us, and most of the time He comes upon us in this way, that He comes so strongly in us that we overflow. You know, you ever just spent time with Jesus in such a way that you just get filled and filled and filled, and all of a sudden you just overflow. You got a truth and you got to tell somebody about it. You got a verse and somebody's got to know it. You got a story of something that Jesus has done and you got to go tell it. And somebody says, well, what made you do it? It's like, I couldn't hardly stop from it. You know, it would have been harder to stop me than to start me. And so it's this overflow. But listen to this. He said in Acts chapter 1, verses 8, He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. The clearest evidence I know of, spoken in the words of Jesus Himself, that said, this is how you'll know when the Holy Spirit comes. He gives us two things, power and witness. So whenever the Holy Spirit is present and He comes on us, you ought to expect two things. Now you can expect a lot more that are in Scripture, but today I feel called to call us to these two things, power and witness. And that is exactly what happened to these disciples in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came, power fell on them, and they immediately began to talk about Jesus in ways that they couldn't even hardly comprehend. You would have thought, who are these people? These are ordinary men who have been filled with the very presence and Spirit of God. And then, another scripture about what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon us. In Acts 19, 17 and 20, it describes this environment. It says, "And fear fell upon them all." Man, have you ever been in an environment where God was so thick that you were just standing almost afraid to move? Like, there have been times where I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to touch it." You know, it's like, am I supposed to do anything? Because you're like, you don't even want to touch it and mess it up. It's just so beautiful and it's so powerful that it's like, I don't want to contaminate it in any way. So you really got to decide if you're supposed to enter into the thing or not. And it says that there was fear that fell upon them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus becomes magnified. And it says, and the word of the Lord was growing mightily, and it was prevailing. Team, we're prevailing. Despite what it says on the news, the third world is coming to Jesus by the millions. The Arab world is having dreams and visitations from Jesus Himself because they wouldn't let Christians in. And so Jesus said, well, you can't stop me. I'll go where I want to go. And so there's this overflow that leads to the gifts of the Spirit are found in this place where the Spirit of God comes on us. Why? So that you can speak in tongues to give a revelation of God, so that you can prophesy. Why? That people may hear the words of God, so that you can heal those who are sick. Isn't that interesting how it's two parts? The Holy Spirit comes on us in order to make us healers. But there is no healer without somebody being healed. So I can't sit all by myself and go, "Whoo! I got this amazing anointing for healing." Okay, well, great. How many people are you praying for that are sick? You know? Man, I got this amazing ability to hear from God. Well, great. Go tell somebody something you heard. Yeah? I've got this amazing ability to believe for great and mighty things. Well, that's awesome. I know some people that have some unbelief. Go and contaminate them. Do you see? It's in us so it can be upon us so that other people might benefit. So let me just remind you that when Peter starts preaching in Acts chapter 2, he is reminding them of scripture that they would have already known, prophetic scripture from Joel that said there was a day coming when the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on all mankind. Did you hear that? All mankind. That means mankind and womankind. That means elderly kind and young people kind. And you say, well, can you be sure of that? Yeah, because it says that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. That's where I got that from. I read it at the Bible. And it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And verse 18 says, even on my bondservants, both men and women. And it says in verse 21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You want to know if you can be saved? Absolutely. You call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. The Spirit of God has been poured out. The good news is we don't have to wait. He's here. And if you're wondering, will He fill you? Well, of course He will. Well, of course He will. Tiffany Walters was telling me a story the other day, but she was praying for a little girl who needed some peace. And Tiffany was telling me a story, and she said, and so we prayed for peace. And she said, of course the Holy Spirit brought it. That's my favorite part of the story. The confidence that she had that here was a little girl that was anxious and afraid. And Tiffany just knew the Holy Spirit in such a way that she said, He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's the Spirit of peace. Surely if we pray, He'll do it. Of course He will. I love that mindset. We're going to pray for some of y'all today. And you wondering, is God going to do anything with me? Well, of course He will. Of course He will. That's what He does. Now, I need to prepare you for what it's like when you get overcome by the Holy Spirit. Because the moment you try to decide on how that's going to look, you're going to mess it up. Because there is this part about the Holy Spirit, I guess it has something to do with that first part of his name when he says, I am holy. I am other than, I can do what I want to do. You know? But now there's some yielding to that as well. Which means that if you don't want anything to happen, nothing's probably going to happen. Because there are very few stories like Paul in Scripture where Jesus just comes in vision and light and knocks somebody off a horse and starts talking to them. If that's what you want, you might not get it. Because more often than not in Scripture, the people who receive the Holy Spirit are the ones who are willing to yield to Him. Hopefully you heard something when I was speaking about how He's a helper and a comforter, and He brings this spirit of victory to us, that you said, man, I want that and I want more of it. And so you're going to have to yield to it. And oftentimes when you put an unlimited God into a limited body, the body doesn't function quite normally anymore. And if you don't want to believe me, I can take you to the natural for just a moment. Have any of you ever been consumed by grief? Yeah. Grief will take over, won't it? It can take over your mind and your body and your words, and you can begin to have tears, and you can begin to just absolutely sob. Why? Because you've been overcome by grief. Have you ever been overcome by fear? And you can get literally like paralyzed, right? You know you need to move, but your body doesn't work. Or sometimes you get so consumed by fear, all you know how to do is run, and you weren't supposed to run. There are times you get overcome by pain. Anybody been overcome by pain? And it can be that kind where you can still get up and move around, and pain can be so debilitating. But all you want to do is move, right? You can't get settled. Nothing stops it. Why? Because you've been overcome by this thing called pain. Any of you ever been overcome by laughter? Huh? Yeah. You know, it wasn't even all that funny when you think back on it. So I told you all of that to say that you know what it's like to be overcome by things in the natural. And you think that's just fine. You've been overcome by grief, and you understand what it's like to sob, to just weep. And so you understand that. If you saw somebody down here weeping, you know, and you said, well, they just lost someone they loved, it makes sense to you. I need your mind to open up to the thought that when an unlimited God fills a natural body, some things happen. And you can't always control them. And so there are times where people will literally sob as the Holy Spirit begins to give them victory over sin. Sometimes they can just begin to weep and to just sob. And it's almost like the tears are wiping the pain away. They're like the tears are coming to wash away the pain and the grief of it all. There are times when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in such a way that we are full of love and sometimes full of joy. Last week, we had laughter break out in here. Just because God is good, and there's sometimes that the joy of the Lord just fills you so much, it's the only thing you can do. Only thing left to do is just laugh. When the power of God comes so that the supernatural begins to happen, that you prayed before and nothing happened so much. You ever been in that place? That you prayed and you're like, nothing happened. But then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and it's like you just pray for stuff and you just believe that it's going to happen. And things begin to happen. You're like, man, what's the difference? Well, maybe before you were praying in your own strength. And maybe now you're praying in the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. That there are times where the Spirit of God can come upon us with such boldness that we're no longer afraid of people. We're no longer afraid of what people think. That supernatural faith can come upon us to where we can believe. It's just easy to believe things that wasn't so easy to believe them before. You're just like, God can do it. And people are like, how can you have that faith? And you're like, I don't know. I just had an encounter with God and I just believe He can do it. And then sometimes He gives us these ministries, that ministries are birthed out of these times when the Holy Spirit just touches somebody. In the Old Testament, He touches a guy named Bezalel. Anybody remember him? Who was a carpenter type. And this guy is used to build the temple. And so I will tell you that you may be a teacher. You may be in the medical field. You may be a business person. How amazing would it be for the Holy Spirit of God to come upon you so that even in your 9-to-5, the power of God is unleashed everywhere you go. They're like, that's the best teacher I've ever seen in my life. It's like she has supernatural wisdom. Huh. That businessman seems to make all the right decisions. Huh. Yeah. That person in the medical field, they do amazing things. We got a guy that's a therapist here in town, a physical therapist, and that's just a glorified church out there. Because he uses that gift to touch people and to heal them. Here's what I want to ask you. Have you received Jesus? Because to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to receive Jesus, because He's the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. If you have not received Jesus, I want to invite you to come and to enter into a relationship with Him this morning, one that will change your life forever.